Welcome, everybody, to another edition of JujitsuSuite.com Radio. I'm your host and editor-in-chief, Manny. This week, our guest is black belt David Rock Jacobs, co-owner and head instructor at Fairfax Jiu-Jitsu, a Yamasaki Academy affiliate. But before we get into the interview segment of the show, I'd like to touch a little bit on our most recent poll entitled, How Important is BJJ to You? The answers to the poll are extremely important, very important, somewhat important, not very important, and lastly, I don't train jiu-jitsu. If you haven't voted now, you can go ahead and vote on the website through October. November, we'll have the newest poll up. We're not sure yet what it's going to be. We haven't decided. But if you haven't voted, you can do so now. And let's get into our segment with David Rock Jacobs of Fairfax Jiu-Jitsu, who will be going over to Europe in November to do some seminars and some training. And we hope you enjoy the interview. David, thank you for being with us today. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for having me.
If you want to give us a little bit of background on how you got started in BJJ and what your what sparked your interest to start training?
Sure. Well, I wrestled pretty much my whole life, all the way up through college. I wrestled Division I in college. Then after graduating, there really wasn't much opportunity to continue with wrestling. I ended up switching over to weightlifting for many years. I enjoyed that, but I definitely missed grappling and competing. Competed a little bit in weightlifting, but it's not the same. And then, like many people, I saw the UFC, and I saw the fighters who used jiu-jitsu, and I thought that it really reminded me a lot of wrestling, and I thought, hey, maybe this is something I could try out. Looks like pretty cool. And looked up jiu-jitsu schools on the internet and found the Yamazaki Academy and started training. Started training jiu-jitsu in February of 1998.
You've actually been in jiu-jitsu for a while now.
Pretty long, I guess, coming up on 13 and a half, 14 years.
So you've actually made it a lifelong commitment.
Yeah, I started when I was actually 31 years old when I started jiu-jitsu. I hopefully can continue on as long as possible.
So recently you've won gold at the No-Gi Pan Ams. Can you tell us a little bit about how do you prepare to compete? And what goes on in your training regimen before competition?
Sure. That's preparation for a competition. You know, takes weeks, months. You can't just decide 1 week before competition and think, okay, I'm going to jump in and expect to do well. If you happen to do well, great. But that's really not the best preparation. So you have to train hard. You have to get yourself in great cardio, do all your drills, and get yourself in, you know, really, really prepared. And you know, honestly, I kind of broke these rules for the No-Gi Pan Am. I did it for the Masters and Seniors over the summer. I really prepared much better. So that's pretty much it. You know, as much as you can without overtraining.
Okay, so it actually.
Is that properly responsive? I'm happy to add detail. I don't know, but that's responsive to your question.
As a competitor, you've competed all over the world. It looks like I saw your list of accomplishments, and it's very impressive. It's a very long list of what you've accomplished in the jiu-jitsu world. Recently, there's been, in our world, competitors who have, I don't want to say who have used, because that's not been confirmed nor denied, but sports enhancement drugs. What are your thoughts on competitors using HGH or steroids before competitions?
Question that people who use those supplements definitely receive an advantage. And of course, it's also true that it's not explicitly prohibited in the rules of many competitions, although, you know, that may vary. You have to check the rules for each particular competition. But they are illegal, so it's kind of a funny backwards situation where sometimes people say they do something because they say, it's not illegal. In this case, they are illegal unless they're, you know, properly prescribed by a doctor. So even though that may not be listed as something you can't use in a particular competition, it's still illegal, and people still receive a benefit that those who do not use the supplement don't receive. So I don't use them. I never have. I feel like I've done pretty well without them. Would I be able to improve my performance if I use them? Perhaps. I mean, that's, you know, speculation. I'm sure I would notice some benefit, but it's not something something I'm willing to do or interested in doing. Should they be tested for people who use them? I don't know the specifics on the costs. I imagine, and just my speculation, I imagine it's not too cheap. The question is, who is going to be tested? Are you going to test every competitor? Every single competitor, I mean, some of these big tournaments, there's over 1,000 competitors. Seems to me that that's the only fair way. I don't think that only the people who win should be tested, because maybe some guy who used the drug didn't win, but knocked some people out that maybe he otherwise wouldn't have knocked out from the competition. So I think there's legitimate cost concerns for organizations to be able to test jiu-jitsu competitors. People are already complaining about the cost of entering a tournament. I imagine it would be even more expensive if they had to test the competitors. But again, it's my speculation. I really don't know the details.
So basically, it's really up to, in the world of jiu-jitsu, to self-regulate and kind of go on the honor system where you kind of hope that the person you're competing against isn't using, and the playing field is level, and the only thing that matters is technique.
Hope for that. I mean, I'm not definitely not against testing. I think it would be fine for the organization to test. I just don't know how practical it is for them to do that. I don't know if it's possible. If it is, great. And they can institute their procedures for testing. I say, great. Absolutely, go ahead. Until that can be done, of course, you know, what else are we going to do? You just have to go buy the honor code, I guess, unless they test.
So do you feel grappling competitions, do you feel that they do enough, or is there even any drug testing involved?
None of the competitions I've ever entered had any form of testing whatsoever. Most of these are amateur competitions. You know, the promoters, I don't know if they can afford to do all that. You know, the UFC is a big multi-million dollar enterprise that can more easily afford the testing of its, you know, competitors. And there's also a smaller number of competitors, you know, compared to, say, Jiu-Jitsu World Championships or the Pan Ams, where there's over 1,000 competitors. I mean, I don't know how. It's not possible, but I just don't know how they would get that done.
So basically, what you're saying is the world of jiu-jitsu hasn't gotten to the level of needing to, or being able to, or having the facilities, the resources to drug test all the competitors to weed out potential users.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had any experience with any jiu-jitsu competitions that have tested so far. I don't think they yet have the resources. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think yet they have the resources or procedures in place for doing that.
Do you feel that as our sport grows, there's going to be more of these issues that come up?
I mean, steroids have been around for a while now. I don't see them just disappearing and not being an issue in the sport. I'm sure unless and until the organization were able to test competitors, I don't see how. I don't know if people are just voluntarily going to stop using them. Maybe they'll be able to use other drugs to mask. You know, I don't even know how they do it. You know, I know they can mask the use of them. I don't know. That may be expensive to competitors. I really don't know. I doubt if that would happen in the amateur events, but you never know.
So you've, like I was talking to you a little while ago about, I saw your accomplishments in the world of grappling. So you've been around a lot of competitions. Given our recent history of jiu-jitsu, where really a lot of people started, if you weren't from Brazil, most people in the United States got exposed to jiu-jitsu right around the early 90s, around UFC 1, 2, and 3, with Royce Gracie dominating using jiu-jitsu. Where do you feel our sport is headed? Do you feel that it's plateaued, it's peaked? Do you feel it's on a decline?
No, I definitely think it's growing and it will continue to grow. The number of competitors, the competitions have increased, the number of schools, academies that teach jiu-jitsu have increased. I see it as getting bigger and bigger. I sometimes wonder if people talk about this on the internet, new topic, but I wonder if now we have these big giant schools, and I wonder if jiu-jitsu will continue to grow to such a degree that it'll go kind of like how Taekwondo is, where there's no big giant Taekwondo schools, but there are schools on every shopping center. I wonder if jiu-jitsu is headed in that direction, or some of the big giant schools would be able to maintain that kind of student enrollment. We'll see. It'll be interesting, but I definitely think it's going to continue to grow. I think that's good.
Well, Well, one of the things that separates our sport from, say, karate or taekwondo or kung fu is our jiu-jitsu lineage. We can trace our instructors back towards the founding fathers, your Elio Gracies, Carlos Gracie, Mitsuyo Maeda. I think that may be to our advantage. I know recently there's been talk about a competitor slash teacher slash, and I use the term loosely, black belt from Idaho, who was basically conning his students into thinking that he was a black belt when he actually wasn't. Some people were saying that he was more of a maybe high-level white belt, given his grappling style. Do you feel that lineage is important to maintaining credibility in our sport?
I think that certainly helps. I mean, I don't know anything about the situation in Idaho. That's the first time I've heard of that. But I know that there are plenty. Since I started jiu-jitsu, there have been, on the internet, people have accused of being frauds, but that's definitely nothing new. And I think that will only increase as the sport grows in popularity. But also the number of legit people will continue to grow. You know, in 10 years, the number of black belts has exploded in the U.S. compared to what it was, you know, 10 years ago. So in 10 years, I'm sure it'll, 10 years from now, it'll be even more black belts, and it's going to get harder and harder to track lineages. It was much easier 10 years ago where pretty much figured out who everybody was, and that's going to be really difficult to do in the future, especially as the number of schools continues to grow. So I definitely think that's helpful, being able to trace lineage, and you know, that can hopefully protect against people promoting themselves. No, nothing's 100% guaranteed. I mean, there's just always going to be, just like in any arena in the world, whether it's business, martial arts, or whatever, there's always going to be fraud and misrepresent their qualifications.
As far as, like, on our topic on where our sport is headed, do you feel it's a good idea or a bad idea for BJJ to be introduced into the Olympics?
Yes, that's an interesting question. I do share the concerns voiced by some people that it may change the sport. I kind of like the way things are. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned conservative, whatever. But I am concerned that if it were to go into the Olympics, it might change the sport doing that. Too much. Of course, you know, I think we're still a ways off from that anyway. I don't think, well, the sport is definitely growing in popularity. I don't know if it's at the point yet where it could be an Olympic sport, but it certainly would be interesting. That definitely would solve, I guess, the drug testing concerns, at least for those who compete in the Olympics, because they would get tested. But yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting topic. I think it's a little early to discuss in detail what that would entail at this point. I am concerned that jiu-jitsu for the Olympics might change it for the worse.
Yeah, that's a legit concern. There's about half of the people who are for it say that it would expose our sport to a wider audience, but then there's the other half that say it's going to be watered down, too many rules, and they feel that it might go by the way of judo. At Fairfax Jiu-Jitsu, I know you teach Muay Thai and mixed martial arts. On that topic, do you feel that jiu-jitsu and mixed martial arts are widening the gap between the relation between the two? I know recently there's been a lot of wrestlers who have had success, like in the UFC and smaller mixed martial arts, and people are saying that jiu-jitsu may not be the best avenue to use as a base to be successful in mixed martial arts. Do you feel that BJJ and mixed martial arts are kind of separating and becoming two entities where before a lot of BJJ competitors had success in mixed martial arts?
I think sport jiu-jitsu is distinct from mixed martial arts, just as Muay Thai is distinct from mixed martial arts. Our MMA coach at Fairfax Jiu-Jitsu does a great job of synthesizing wrestling, jiu-jitsu, judo, Muay Thai, and putting it all together for MMA, because you can't just simply train jiu-jitsu and train Muay Thai and then expect to think you know what MMA is. It's really, MMA is its own sport. You have to modify certain aspects of jiu-jitsu and modify aspects of Muay Thai to be able to do MMA. In Muay Thai, no one is worried about getting double leg takedowns. So there's certain things in Muay Thai that you can get away with that you wouldn't be able to do if you were afraid someone's going to shoot into a double leg on you. Similarly, in Jiu-Jitsu, especially sport Jiu-Jitsu, you're not worried about someone punching you in the face, so you can get away with certain moves that you might not be able to get away with in mixed martial arts. So I think jiu-jitsu is a great base for mixed martial arts. I think Muay Thai is a great base for mixed martial arts. I think wrestling is a great base for mixed martial arts. But you can't just, it's, you know, it's the same with wrestling. You can't just wrestle and go into to MMA because no one's punching you in the face in wrestling. You're not going to get guillotined in wrestling. So you can just shoot straight in on a double leg and not have to worry about someone being guillotined to you. So you have to modify wrestling as well. So in all these sports, are pretty essential for mixed martial arts, but you have to modify it. Synthesize all of them, and that's one thing I think I'm really proud of, like the program that we have at Fairfax, that the coach really emphasizes that and teaches the guys how to do jiu-jitsu moves, Muay Thai, strikes, and wrestling takedowns that take into account what could happen in MMA.
Getting back to what we were talking about, Fairfax, recently you've had another black belt join your academy, Edmar Barbosa. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how that's been going for you?
Yes. Fantastic. Ademar is a friend of mine. I actually met him years ago. I think it was 2005, first time. But he was actually working the scoring table for my competition at the Pan Ams in 2005. You know, while I was competing on the mat, he was doing the scoring table. We kind of struck up a friendship. He'd come to visit us, do seminars several times over the years. I think he was a purple belt back then. And he came to the United States. And it turned out that we had an opportunity to hire him as an instructor, and it's worked out fantastic. He's really brings very creative, innovative jiu-jitsu. He competes at the highest level. Good to have someone like that training with you on a daily basis. And, you know, if the students get a group, you know, we have three black belts, and we all three have very different styles. And so it's very beneficial for our students to see Ademar's style versus my style versus my partner Mark Jones, his style. So it really worked out fantastic. We get along great. Ademar is a really easygoing personality. He's very funny. He's got a very good sense of humor, which is also fits in great with the rest of us because we all kind of like to joke around a lot. So I can't say enough. That's good things about it. It's really worked out well.
Great. Well, it sounds like there's some good things happening over at Fairfax Jiu-Jitsu. What does the future hold for David Rock Jacobs? What can we see you accomplishing in the future?
Well, I'm hoping to continue to be able to compete. I'm kind of coming back from I have some health issues with my neck. My neck is pretty messed up, and I took off a long time, 2010, beginning of 2011, to heal my neck up. Actually, it was a long-term problem, and it was kind of gradual. I didn't even realize how bad it was getting throughout 2010. I really had the problems. I wasn't feeding up to my top level. It kind of gradually wore me down. I wasn't even aware of it. It took the time off, and I was able to come back pretty strong. So hopefully my neck, you know, I can be able to monitor in a smart way and manage my neck, and hopefully I'll be able to continue. I feel, you know, at the side, you know, that's the only health issue I have, but I feel as strong as I did before, and I want to keep continuing to compete and to teach and to grow my school. And hopefully only good things I see in the future.
Before we conclude our interview, are there any last words?
I'm very excited to announce I'm going to Europe for some seminars from November 1st to 4th. I'll be in Gothenburg, Sweden, at the Yamazaki Academy, teaching and training, teaching at night and doing privates. Then I'm going to London, England. I have a seminar at Mill Hill Jiu-Jitsu. It's a Roger Gracie affiliate on November 5th, Saturday, November 5th, from 1 to 4 p.m. And then on Monday, November 7th, I'll be in Lyon, France, at BJJ Lyon for a no-gi seminar from 8 to 11, and then I fly back home. So I'll be in Europe for about a little over a week. Looking forward to meeting all the people out there and having a great time. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, wow. So you're going to be doing some traveling in the next month or so.
Yeah, just a few more weeks. I just can't wait. I mean, my favorite things in the world are traveling and jiu-jitsu, and nothing makes me happier than when I'm traveling doing jiu-jitsu.
The best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, wow, that's fantastic. How did you get involved with Roger Gracie?
Well, it's not his main school. It's an affiliate school run by one of his black belts, Mill Hill Jiu-Jitsu, and I met Nick down at the Masters and Seniors in Brazil this year, and I talked to him about the possibility of doing a seminar at his academy. That's how we worked that out. Something I'm very, very excited about. I just can't wait to go over there.
You're going to be in Europe November 1st till the 7th?
Well, yeah, from November, right, from that Tuesday to the Friday, I'm in Gothenburg, Sweden, and then Friday night I fly to England for the seminar on Saturday, then Sunday night I fly to Lyon, France, seminar Monday night, I think against November 7th. Is that what I said?
Yeah, Monday, November 7th, right?
Yeah, and then I fly back to the States November 8th.
That's fantastic.
David, I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. We wish you continued success, and hopefully we'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was David Rock Jacobs of Fairfax Jiu-Jitsu. And just in case you didn't get to hear the dates, November 1st through the 4th, he'll be in Gothenburg, Sweden. For more information, visit www.grappling.se. Saturday, November 5th, between 1 and 4 p.m., he'll be at Mill Hill Combat and Conditioning in London. Contact information is www.millhilljiujitsuclub.com. Monday, November 7th, between 8 and 11 p.m., he'll be at BJJ Lion. For more information, visit www.bjj.fr. And if you'd like to learn more about David Jacobs and Fairfax Jiu-Jitsu, visit fairfaxjj.com or stop by at Fairfax Jiu-Jitsu, located at 13821 Redskin Drive, Herndon, Virginia, 20171, or give him a call at 703-435-9899. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, remember, fight hard, finish strong.